Britain's culture minister made waves on social media over the weekend when he said Netflix series The Crown should carry a disclaimer that it is a work of fiction. The series' fourth season depicts the political and social events of 1980s Britain through the lens of the royal family. And this latest season is particularly divisive. New characters include former Conservative Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher and Princess Diana. One of the major storylines centers on the relationship between Princess Di and Prince Charles, a depiction which saw fans of the show flooding the social media accounts of Prince Charles and his wife Camilla with negative comments. The question is, first of all, how much of the series is invented versus truly linked to historically known events? Secondly, what is the obligation of a writer, a showrunner like Peter Morgan in this case, who's done so much terrific work in films, to adhere to the truth? Joining us is Los Angeles Times columnist and experts on the royal family, Pat Morrison. Pat, good morning.
Larry, a pleasure to talk to you again.
So first, what are your thoughts on the series and the new season?
Well, here we are, as the Archbishop of Canterbury once said of all the coverage of the Charles and Diana marriage, we're dabbling with the stuff of people's souls. And The Crown is a fictionalized version of real events, and yet this is how people tend to think of learning history. It looks so good. The production values are so fantastic that you think, well, this must be the real thing. And yet, as we have seen, they're moving events around, they're changing timelines, and a source close to Prince Charles told a newspaper that it's really sinister using light entertainment to drive an agenda. And this is an anti-monarchical agenda. Prince Charles worked so hard to rehabilitate Camilla's image over the years with the idea that he would marry her, she may eventually become queen, and now you have a television show that's generating hostility on the basis of some things that never happened.
What's your sense, Pat, of how it's being received in England? And does much of that have to do with the viewers' feelings about the royal family, affecting that?
I think you hit it exactly right, because people will bring their own feelings to bear as they watch this. And a lot of the feelings of support toward Princess Diana, the anger about the way Charles treated her, are being brought back to the fore among people who remember them and people who may be discovering this for the first time. So it isn't just entertainment the way it is here. The crown, the monarchy, has a significant constitutional role, not a lot of power, but a presence nonetheless. And this is something that, as its opponents are saying, is trying to tip that balance with some fictional tellings of things and some exaggerations of things that did happen, and maybe even creations of things that didn't.
Well, and Morgan has said, you know, he's trying to be faithful to an underlying truth, but he's pretty upfront about the fact that he's moved things around and certain things didn't happen. He's changed locations of events for the purpose of streamlining the storytelling. But when you're dealing with people that are living, Pat, it does seem to me that is different, because you're dealing with, as we see from the social media accounts of Charles, you're dealing with an effect on their life today.
If it were anyone but the royal family, this might already be in court. But the royal family's unofficial motto, never complain, never explain, is really being tested on this, because if it is, as people in Buckingham Palace and Charles's residence as well, and even Prince William are concerned about how this might damage a perception of the monarchy, which has done, as we must admit, a pretty good job of damaging itself. But to have fictional representations being put in people's heads, the woman who plays Princess Diana, the actress, said it would really help an enormous amount if at the beginning of each episode it said, this isn't true, but it's based on some real events. Then you understand the nature of the drama and the invention.
We're talking with Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison. Pat is just absolutely wonderful to talk about the royals, and has joined us so often to talk about some of the important news that the royal family has made over the years. If you have questions or response to The Crown, down the Netflix series in its season four and a highly controversial fourth season. It is. We're at 866-893-KPCC. If you're a viewer of the series, I'm interested in what you think of the depiction of the royals. 866-893-5722. Also joining us, along with Pat, is University of Nottingham Professor of Political History, Stephen Fielding. He's co-author of The Churchill Myths, which addresses Churchill's legacy in part through his depiction in media and culture. Professor Fielding, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. In fact, do films like this establish for the public more of the storyline of historic events than actual historic books seeking to straightforwardly tell that history?
Absolutely. There have been a few surveys on this very topic, and there's one that's very striking, where a bunch of Ivy League students were told what the facts were about Scottish history around the time of the movie Braveheart, that Mel Gibson story that mangled history heroically. And they were told the facts by their professors, and then they were shown the film Braveheart, and then they were examined on it. And guess what? Their answers followed the Braveheart version, i.e. the version that they were told was completely wrong. So the screen, the big screen, the little screen, it can be very beguiling, even to those that have been told the facts. So something like The Crown will have an influence on how people think of Charles and Diana and the monarchy more generally. That's certainly true. But nobody was complaining about The Crown in its first two or three seasons, when Peter Morgan went out of his way to kind of reinforce our kind of our positive sentiments about Elizabeth, about the Queen herself. It's funny that there are only complaints now when The Crown's dealing with a rather more tricky period in the monarchy's history. And whether it's telling the truth or it's distorting things or whatever, that's what drama does. And historical fiction always does that, going all the way back to Shakespeare. So this isn't new stuff.
All right, we'll continue with our guest, Nottingham University Professor Stephen Fielding and Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison. We're talking about The Crown, the Netflix series that's in its fourth season. Peter Morgan, the writer and runner of the show, getting heavy criticism over the liberties he's taken in fictional depictions of real-life characters. We'll be back in 1 minute. Speaking of history, coming up on Fresh Air with Terry Gross at noon, Neil Gabler, wonderful writer of biographies, his new book on Senator Ted Kennedy. Neil Gabler on Fresh Air with Terry Gross in just a few moments here on KPCC. Gabler, of course, with just wonderful works, including on the early studio system in Hollywood and the immigrants who really built Southern California's film industry. We're talking about The Crown, the Netflix series in its fourth season, which has been criticized by some as being unfair and inaccurate in the way it's portrayed members of the royal family over the past three decades. Also with us, in addition to Professor Stephen Fielding and columnist Pat Morrison, is Suzanne Levy, KPCC editor and a British expat. Suzanne, you've been watching The Crown. What do you think of it?
Yes, I have. And I'm obviously a massive fan. And I actually find myself speaking in a much posher way after I've seen the show. And I'm like the Queen going, oh, hello. I actually find it a little distracting, the fact that I don't know if what I'm watching is real or not. And I reached Google within like 5 minutes of watching it going, did that really happen? Because they take such pains to make everything look accurate. I mean, down to the clothes that Diana's wearing or Sarah Ferguson's wearing and the way they walk and the way they talk, you're like, yes, that's exactly it. And then you think, wait a minute, did Diana really dress up as a forest sprite? She met Charles. And you're like, did that really happen? And I'm busy Googling while I'm watching it. So I find it distracting. and a little bit of a betrayal in some ways.
So are you seeing it differently because you're more familiar with this time frame that's depicted this season? Were you more okay with it in the past when maybe they took liberties, and whether it was accurate or not wasn't top of mind as you watched it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, watching the 50s and the 60s, it was history. So, but this is real. I was there. I was watching the TV when it actually happened. And so that's why I think it feels like a little bit of a betrayal. Although, actually, my parents did live through the, do you remember there was the smog in London? And my parents lived through that and said, yeah, depicted very in a very real way.
So. Yeah, just terrible. Suzanne, thank you so much. Suzanne Levy, KPCC editor, taking some issue because of how highly realistic it is. Pat Morrison, that's exactly the point you were making, that when they recreate Buckingham Palace or, you know, these historic events, the location, the costumes, everything is so convincing.
And this isn't like a flash-in-the-pan tabloid story that people can shrug and lift an eyebrow and say, oh, well, it's interesting, but it's a tabloid. This is, as you say, the production values are stupendous. The cast, Peter Morgan, of course, brings a tremendous reputation to all of this. And so, as Professor Fielding was saying, it's very seductive. We see this in any historical film. You watch Gladiator, and, you know, I hate to tell you, but the emperor was not murdered by his son. He died of chickenpox. And yet, that's far enough away, and the details are unknown enough that we figure we can do this. But we know, as humans, as Professor Fielding knows, we know so little history. Why would you mess with the history we know? Just go ahead and make up another story. But it's so seductive to take a real situation and play with it and mess around with it, with this plastic quality to how you want it perceived. Peter Morgan talks about underlying truth. Well, what about the overlying truth? The fact that's on the record of the most scrutinized marriage since Henry VIII's marital marathon, I guess.
David in Sawtelle says, this reminds me of Oliver Stone's JFK film. It made it seem like LBJ bore responsibility for JFK's assassination, even though it was fictional. People really believed in that movie. And that takes us back to Professor Fielding. We had Darkest Hour, which, of course, had the tremendous performance by Gary Oldham as Churchill a few years back. And that's how people are going to think of Churchill in some degree.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I remember watching it in the cinema, and I nearly walked out because it was messing with history to such an extent to make Churchill a much more attractive character for a contemporary audience. As there's a scene in the film where Churchill goes down to the tube to ask whoever's on the tube, should we fight on? And he holds the hand of a black guy who's on the tube, and he's a very sympathetic character. Churchill didn't ever do that. And, you know, Churchill, there's a whole thing about Churchill being a racist. He wouldn't have touched a black man's hand in that way. But it was crafted to make that character played by Gary Oldman, who we call Churchill, sympathetic. Nobody, I mean, historians complained about it, but I don't recall government ministers getting on their high horse in the Conservative government and saying, you can't depict Churchill like that, because it was a very positive depiction. So, I mean, the thing about The Crown is that, I mean, the monarchy's had a very good run in terms of dramatizations, and at this point it's reached a bumpy sort of stretch with Charles and Diana. And like, you know, anybody else watching it, I don't know what actually was said between Charles and Diana. There are some scenes where there's Charles and Diana. Now, Charles presumably wasn't saying anything, and Diana unfortunately can't say anything about what happened. So where Peter Morgan gets his evidence from, I don't know. But it is a bit naive to think that films like this have to adhere to this a greater truth, whatever it might be. Historians like myself are paid good money to argue about the meaning of the past and what happened in the past. So history is something where people dispute what happened. So The Crown, as a version of history, is just it's just an extension of that debate, I think.
Do you think it should have some sort of a disclaimer that says that it is a fictionalized account of events, or are audiences sophisticated enough to not need that?
Well, I'm surprised it doesn't have one, because the convention is, when you do sort of monkey around with the past for dramatic purposes, you do have that. I mean, even Vice the Dick Cheney biopic, although it did it playfully, has that kind of thing. But the thing is, when even if you do that, people don't know which bit is fact and which bit is fiction, so they tend to believe everything.
We're talking with a professor at Nottingham University, professor of political history, Stephen Fielding, LA Times columnist Pat Morrison. Pat, are you able to watch The Crown and take enjoyment in it, or because of all the research you've done on the royal family, does it make it tough for you to sit through?
Oh, that's an excellent question. It isn't like watching Ben-Hur and saying, oh, there's a man wearing a watch, or watching Marie Antoinette and saying, hey, that person's wearing Converse. You know, shoes. You watch it, and I'm sure Professor Fielding feels the same way, just as scientists watch movies and flinch about, oh my God, what they're seeing on the screen, how unscientific is that? And you watch this, and you flinch knowing that that's not what happened, when it happened, the way it happened. And so watching it for fun is kind of hard when you're sitting there making notes.
I'll bet. All right. Thank you both so much. Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison joining us. And from the University of Nottingham, Stephen Fielding with us as well. We have a number of listeners who felt like there was value in The Crown, and they actually gained empathy for the royals as a result of the series. That was a recurring comment that we saw from Air Talk listeners. Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up next. Neil Gabler, the wonderful historian, is going to be joining the show today, talking about his new biography on the late Senator Ted Kennedy. Then coming up at 1 o'clock, it's All Things Considered with Austin Cross, the early feed, the very latest on LA County's new coronavirus restrictions. Have a good day.